Gainesville is on the grow.
Gainesville, Texas. We're just a short drive south of Corpus Christi and well worth the visit.
Kingsville is Coolsville.
Welcome to a series of crazy conundrums, tall tales from South Texas, the podcast. And introducing your author and host, Tom DeFrancesca. Tell us a good story, Tom.
I'm doing my best, Shirley. I surely am. Here we are, already on episode 3 of a series of crazy conundrums, the podcast. I just want to thank all of you who have reached out to me to compliment me and encourage me to continue onward and upward with the series. It's been a lot of fun. As a follow-up to episode 2 of this podcast series, I'd like to share with you two additional true and personal life can be stranger than fiction stories that I'd forgotten to include. Picture this. I'm attending a telecommunications conference in Manhattan for a week back in 1996, and after having arrived in New York City on Sunday afternoon, decided to attend a church service that evening. At the time, Times Square Church was a very large church with a very large congregation. I'm talking several thousand people in attendance regularly. I'd actually gotten to meet the pastor back in the 70s when he had visited my high school in Florida. When I arrived at the church service, it was about to begin, and so I had to quickly find an empty seat. And I eventually managed to find one located on the main floor, pretty close to the stage and the podium. As I'd begun to sit down, an elderly lady to my right welcomed me warmly and asked if it was my first time to visit the church, in which I had replied to her that it was. The service began a few minutes into our visit with each other, and then after it was over, the lady and I bid our farewells, and she wished me a happy life back in New Mexico. On Wednesday of that same week, while still in Manhattan, I had made a last-minute decision to catch the evening service at Times Square Church. After arriving, I was told by an usher that the only seating available was up in the balcony, and so I made my way upstairs. After eyeing an empty seat, I made my way over to it, and then I asked the person sitting in the seat next to it if it was already taken. That person looked up at me with a gleaming smile, and she responded with, "I guess the seat has been waiting just for you." It was the very same lady that I had sat next to on Sunday evening in an entirely different location inside the auditorium. Out of the several thousand attendees at that Wednesday night service, I had ended up right next to the same elderly, kind, and beaming ray of sunshine. What were the odds of that, do you suppose? So, let's now fast forward to 2005 or so. I was attending a large music festival in New Mexico, and after finding a seat, was anxiously awaiting for the next musical act to perform. While waiting, an older couple found their seats next to me, and I greeted them. With their very British accents, they informed me that they had traveled from England to attend the music festival, and then to tour New Mexico. A once-in-a-lifetime adventure for them, they said. I had a good visit with the couple before the show started. Afterwards, we said our goodbyes and good lucks and went our separate ways. So guess what? 2007 rolls around, and I made a last-minute decision to attend the music festival once again, having skipped the one in 2006. You know where this is going, right? Sure enough, I found my seat and got settled in. Suddenly, I heard British accents right behind me, the very same voices that I had heard 2 years prior. As I turned to look back at them, they suddenly remembered me and had a look of shock on their faces, and then we all had a good laugh. I told them about my last-minute decision, and they told me that all they could think about was coming back to attend the festival one more time, but they couldn't afford to do it in 2006, but there they were now. There were probably 2,000-plus people in attendance that night at the music festival. Was it a mere coincidence or not? By the way, after I've finished reading my new story to you in this episode number 3, I'll then be introducing you to yet another fine Kingsville-based musical act. There's a lot more of them around here than you can imagine. You've also noticed by now that I like to promote locally owned small businesses here in Kingsville in my episodes. And if you are a local, I think it would be nice if you would visit those businesses and purchase an item or service from them and then let them know you heard about them on this podcast. Thank you. Well, all right, we're going to take a break. We're going to offer up a small message to you right now, and then when we return, I'll share my latest tall tale story with you.
Come in and browse a while. You're always welcome at the Novel Blend Bookstore. Shop our selection of used books, unique gifts, featuring work by local artisans, and a variety of vintage vinyl albums. The Novel Blend is also a gathering place with comfy surroundings hot and cold beverages, live music in the warehouse. Located in historic downtown Kingsville, the Novel Blend Bookstore. We're here to make you smile.
Do you want to meet your match? Well then, just head on over to Beef and Bones Meat Market. Check out their fine selection of fresh meats, local produce, and unique spices. Your days are about to get a whole lot meatier when you start shopping at Beef and Bones Meat Market, located at 1401 South 14th Street. It's a family-owned and operated butcher shop serving the Kingsville, Texas community. Open 10 to 6 Tuesday through Saturday, Beef and Bones Meat Market offers up a fresh selection of beef, chicken, pork, and newly added farm fresh produce. And they also accept the Lone Star card. Look for Beef and Bones Meat Market on Facebook and give them a like to show your support for locally owned small businesses. It was a blistering hot, windy, and dusty day when the glistening brand new black Cadillac Escalade pulled up to the address that the GPS had indicated. The driver advised the half-snoozing, exquisitely dressed gentleman in the back seat that they had arrived. Mr. Michael James Risen, utilizing a cane to steady himself, slowly stepped out of the SUV. Much to his surprise, Charles H. Flato Elementary School on West Santa Gertrudis Avenue in Kingsville, Texas, was still standing. Not standing very sturdy, mind you, but it was still there all the same. As the elderly man walked toward the old hulking shell of the building, his mind swept back, way back, to 1952 and to the first day of the fourth grade. Of all the places that he had lived and attended school, that one year in Kingsville had had the most profound effect on his young life. Young Jimmy, upon arrival at school that day, had been very thankful that he was actually starting the new school year on the very first day. On that day, he was just another regular student, and not one who had shown up as a stranger during the school year, like in some of the other locations he'd moved to in the past. He'd always hated the undue attention that it had always brought upon him as the new kid. Prior to moving to Kingsville, which is a little south of Corpus Christi, the boy had attended schools in Florida and Virginia and was destined to move on to several other locations around the country before eventually graduating high school. The life of a military brat was tough, and many of the local kids oftentimes developed deep-seated resentment towards him, and he could never understand why. At such a young age, he'd already grown tired of the constant moving and the making of new friends and then the leaving of them, sometimes quite suddenly without much prior notice. He'd already, once again, since settling in, begun craving a normal life, which meant to him having the same friends in just one place to call home. The best thing about his new school was his fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Irene Atwood. She was dedicated to her pupils and had a sensitive nature and was able to pick up on emotions from her many students, even those who were very withdrawn and had very tough exteriors, such as Jimmy. Try as she might, though, she never could crack the hard outer surface of the boy. That is until one day when he was due to read an assignment that he'd written, in front of his class. He'd shown up that morning with a look of absolute dread on his young face. In his left hand was a wadded-up batch of notebook paper, which was now just a big wet blob. "Jimmy, what do you have there?" Mrs. Atwood had calmly asked him. "My report on Paris, France, but it's ruined, ma'am." "What happened to it?" the teacher asked. "I was getting ready for school this morning, and I took my report into the bathroom to read it to myself while I was brushing my teeth. My little sister was in the tub, and somehow my papers fell into it. I grabbed them real quick-like, but you can see, they're ruined." "It's all right, Jimmy. I can tell you did the work. It's not a big deal," Mrs. Atwood had replied. "It's not? I won't be able to read it in front of the class, though," Jimmy had replied. The young man had always hated not measuring up to expectations and not getting everything perfect, which seemed to be the things that his father, a naval officer, was always able to do quite easily. "I'll tell you what, Jimmy. How about you just write down a few things that you remember that was in your report, and then you just talk about them?" "Okay, I think I can do that," he had replied with a relieved smile on his face. What followed that afternoon in Mrs. Atwood's classroom was remarkable to everyone present. Without realizing it, Jimmy had been able to recall almost every detail that he'd included in his earlier report. More remarkable than that, though, was how well he had presented the information to his classmates. "Jimmy, you are a natural performer. You are also intelligent and creative. You kept everyone interested in what you were saying, and while you were up there, you just didn't seem as angry and frustrated as you normally seem to be. Mrs. Atwood had showered those compliments upon the boy as he was preparing to leave the classroom for the day, after everyone else had already left. "Thank you, Mrs. Atwood. I sure appreciate how you took the pressure off me. I almost always feel like I can't keep up with how everyone wants me to be." "I can understand that, Jimmy. As you get older and wiser, though, you'll be able to figure out what it is that makes you happy, and you'll worry less about what everyone else thinks." "I see," he had replied. Jimmy's teacher then said, "Now, I'm just a stranger to you, and I don't know much about you and your family, but I have been around quite a few more years than you have, and so I've learned a few things."
"As in what, ma'am?" Jimmy asked.
"Like, just because we find ourselves on a certain course in life, it doesn't mean that we absolutely have to stay on that course. Right now, being young, you don't have that many choices that you can make freely. But someday, when you're older, you'll have that opportunity, and I hope you'll make good choices. You have to be true to your own spirit, Jimmy. That means doing what you really want to do, not what others want or think you should do," she had offered.
"Thanks, ma'am. Thank you very much for those words," Jimmy had replied.
"You're quite welcome, young man. It's my pleasure. Now you get on home, and I'll see you tomorrow. By the way, I don't expect you to remember everything that I've said to you today, but I'm hoping that the words will come back to you someday when you need them the most," Mrs. Atwood had replied. "Thanks again," Jimmy had replied as he left the room with a very rare smile on his face. Okay, we're going to take a short break right here, and after a short message, be back and I'll finish this episode.
Old-fashioned hospitality awaits you in Kingsville, Texas. From familiar hotel chains to quaint local inns and RV communities, Kingsville is sure to have you covered when looking for a clean and cozy place to rest during your stay. Kingsville's close proximity to Corpus Christi and the Texas Gulf Coast makes its location a quiet, budget-friendly option for visitors who wish to stretch their dollar a little further. In addition, one of the benefits of Kingsville's relatively small size is that no matter where you stay, you're only minutes away from local attractions, shopping areas, and restaurants. Annual events throughout the year include the Clayburgh County Junior Livestock Show and Concert, the exciting Wings Over South Texas Air Show featuring the Blue Angels, the King Ranch Ranch Hand Breakfast and Weekend Festival, and the beloved La Posada de Kingsville Parade of Lights. Additional event information may be found on the calendar page at the Kingsville Visitor Center website at kingsvilletexas.com. That's kingsvilletexas.com.
Well, we're back. The rest of the school year went by quickly, and many a day transpired along the same lines, with Mrs. Atwood providing the young man with little snippets of wisdom and encouragement. Every time that he'd thank his teacher, she would almost always reply with, "It's my pleasure," which was a response that Jimmy had never heard anyone say before he moved to Kingsville. It had always seemed to ring true with her, though, and he'd never doubted the sincerity of that reply from his much-adored teacher. Jimmy had also learned to enjoy Saturdays in Kingsville. Regularly, he and a few of his buddies would walk downtown and watch an afternoon matinee at the beautiful Texas Theater, and then follow that up with delicious Sundays at Harold's Pharmacy, which had been in existence since 1916. The boy had learned to appreciate the slow and easy pace of small-town life. And so, it was a sad day when Jimmy's father announced that they would be moving once again. Jimmy was able to finish the school year, though, and before they had departed for Albuquerque. From New Mexico, the family moved on to San Diego and then eventually to Alexandria, Virginia, where he'd graduated high school. Jimmy eventually graduated film school at the University of California, Los Angeles, in 1965, but not before attending a couple of colleges in Florida. Then came those few years of fame, celebrity, and hard living. After that, he'd spent 42 years in Africa, turning diamonds into a fortune that he used to better the lives of the impoverished. He'd finally found a place to call home, and he'd stayed. Lately, though, his health had taken a turn for the worse, and he'd decided to do some traveling, just in case he couldn't do that in a few more years. Mr. Risen's doctor had recently told him that it was a miracle that he was still alive, considering all of the drugs and alcohol that he'd consumed as a young man. He was surprised by that fact himself. He'd always thought, when he was younger, if he could become famous by sharing his creativity with others, that both the recognition and the many acknowledged accomplishments would somehow soothe the savage beast within him. But they hadn't.
In fact, with an overwhelming cult-like following that had sprung up and with an ever-increasing expectation from his fans for some new greatness to be revealed, it had all blown up in his face. The drinking and the drugs had almost killed him one day back in 1971, and in, of all places, the city of Paris. A few days prior to that, and unbeknownst to Jim's friends, he made a new friend, a Frenchman named Pierre Bernard, who had greatly resembled Jim at the time. Both men had grown their hair long and had gone unshaved for almost a year. Bernard was even overweight by some 20-plus pounds, almost exactly the amount of weight Jim had put on over the same several months prior. Pierre had recently found himself without a place to live, and so Jim had invited him to stay at his place. They drank and did drugs together and swapped true and false tales about themselves, and no one came around during those few days. One morning, Jim discovered Pierre's lifeless body in the bathtub. The man had mistakenly snorted a dose of heroin, thinking it was cocaine. As Jim stood there, looking down at his new friend's body, he'd realized that it could have easily been him lying there dead and staring up into nothingness that day. It was also then that he'd suddenly remembered that day he had shown up for school with the soggy report and how Mrs. Atwood had told him he could simply pick a new path. "I can pick a new course." Jim had said that out loud to himself as he stood there above the lifeless body of his new friend. Mrs. Atwood's words kept repeating themselves over and over in Jim's mind. No one else was in the apartment at the time of Pierre's death. Jim had had no idea where his girlfriend was at the moment. She'd been almost totally out of her mind on drugs for weeks, and Jim had figured that she'd probably not even notice that it was not him who had passed away. All he'd have to do was to leave his American driver's license behind, gather up some cash and clothes, and make an anonymous telephone call to the authorities. He could go somewhere else and start fresh. Anywhere but back to the U.S. Fans would no longer be able to constantly follow him around and watch his every move. No one would be worshiping him any longer. He had detested that aspect of his life. He'd be giving up potential millions of dollars in royalties over the coming decades, though. Was it worth it? He'd quickly determined that it was. Could he actually get away with disappearing? He had wondered to himself. He'd pondered that question over and over. A few minutes passed. The silence was surreal, and his mind was racing. There could be no more drugs and alcohol, and that was for sure. It would have to be that way for the rest of his life, or he'd end up just like his dead friend Pierre. So, Jim had left Paris undetected, and he'd allowed the French authorities to believe that it was his body in the bathtub. Pierre had no family and had completely run out of friends, so Jim realized that that man would never be missed. The quickly thought-out plan had worked perfectly, much to Jim's amazement. For the next several years, he'd constantly looked over his shoulder, but eventually, he stopped worrying about being found out. Jim had used a fake passport to get to Africa, a place that he'd often told his friends and fellow band members that he would someday disappear to. He'd also told them that he would someday change his name to M.J. Risen, the initial standing for Mojo. How he'd become a successful millionaire was a whole different story, and one that might be told someday after his death, he supposed. Neither his wife of 39 years nor his two adult children had had any idea of his true identity. He had not told them in order to protect them from crazed fans and the always intrusive media. But he had been writing a journal for several years, which they would eventually find and read. He'd made sure of that. He had only shared his secret with two other individuals, and that was his mother and father. Back in the late 1990s, he'd reached out to them and had mended a great divide. They'd both sworn themselves to secrecy and had promised that they would take the secret to their graves. It was a promise that they had both kept. As Mr. Risen stood there looking at his old elementary school, he realized it was time to move on to his last stop on his current itinerary. He'd already visited California. His parents had been cremated there, and their ashes had been scattered over the Pacific Ocean just off Point Loma, and he'd paid tribute to them there a few days earlier. Prior to that, the elderly gentleman had visited Paris. As they were leaving Kingsville, he was pleased to see that renovation work was going on at the old Texas movie theater. He was also pleasantly surprised to see that Harold's Pharmacy was still open for business, and in fact, still had a soda fountain in operation. In some ways, downtown Kingsville had changed, and in many ways, it hadn't. The next day, after paying the admission fee and wandering slowly through the many exhibits at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. Risen found the musician's display that he had been the most interested in viewing upon arrival. As a way of paying tribute to the musician, various documents from his past had been put on display there, as well as other items. As the old man slowly scanned the exhibit, he was suddenly taken aback by the sight of a simple little piece of paper. He'd immediately remembered that artifact, and chills that instantly ran down his spine. Posted there, for every visitor to see, was his fourth-grade report card from Charles H. Flato Elementary School in Kingsville, Texas. Emblazoned on that document were the handwritten words of his former teacher, Mrs. Irene Atwood. The words on the card read, "It was a pleasure to work with Jimmy." By the way, Jim Morrison of the Doors is supposedly buried in Paris, and his gravesite is one of the most popular destinations in that country. Believe it or not, his gravestone contains a phrase on it that is engraved in the Greek language. The words translated into English read, "True to his own spirit." Now, here's my author's note. This is a totally fictional story based on historical and documented information, as well as popular rumors and lore. The information about the report card on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum is absolutely true, although it's no longer on display now. But I did, in fact, verify the details concerning it with the official curator of the museum. All right, after a short message, I'll be back to introduce you to a track from Kingsville-based band South 77. So don't go anywhere and get ready to enjoy some great music. If you're hungry and hankering for a homemade meal, stop in at the Cherry Tree Tea Room, located in historic downtown Kingsville. Do they offer a blue plate special, you might be wondering? Why, yes, they do, every day. At the Cherry Tree Tea Room, you'll always find their meals, soups, salads, sandwiches, and desserts are homemade. By the way, custom catering is available at the Cherry Tree Tea Room. South 77 is a Kingsville-based band that has a passion for creating music without limitations, and have been entertaining fans at regional venues for over 2 years now. Besides original music, the South 77 band is also known for performing cover tracks of popular genres such as country, reggae, rock, bluegrass, and even classical guitar pieces. This truly is a no-holds-barred band. Kingsville Sons' Adam Gonzalez, who provides vocals and rhythm guitar, and Orly Zepeda, who provides vocals and lead guitar, play well with Sammy Guerra Jr. of Bishop, who tops off the band with vocals, bass, harmonica, and steel guitar. Look for the South 77 Facebook page under South 77 Kingsville and give them a like to show your support for local independent musicians. On Instagram, you'll find them under South 77 Official. To contact the band for future gig possibilities, you can email them at south77band@gmail.com. That's south77band@gmail.com.
Hey y'all, this is Sammy Guerra Jr. from Kingsville Band South 77.
Spa Hacienda is like an oasis in the desert, and it's located in historic downtown Kingsville at 306 East Clayburg Avenue. And the professional staff there truly care about you and your hair, skin, and body. Look for Spa Hacienda on Facebook and give them a like. Well, folks, it's time to wrap up episode 3, and for me to start working on a new story for episode 4. I don't have it all fleshed out yet, but it will definitely involve great coffee and parallel universes with a very unique portal. That's all I'm going to say. So until next time, I'll see ya.